and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. Joining me tonight, as always, my co-host, the one and only, Sean Paul Ellis. How's it going, sir?
David. I'm doing well. How about yourself, buddy?
Doing pretty good, man. As you could tell, I had no witty intro tonight. My witticisms have all been burnt out.
I thought it was going to be something like coming from inside of my cranium. It's Sean Paul Ellis.
I could have. I mean, if I was coming from inside of my own head.
Coming from an extraterrestrial planet to invade and take over Earth.
Could have been it. That's kind of generic, though. That's 25% of what we cover, I think, on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you threw in a giant fighting robot, that's just about everything.
That covers everything. Yeah. Some combination of those two. Yeah, no, tonight was a weird one. It was kind of a short week for us, so we just kind of decided to go with I guess this is part of a trilogy. We already covered Aeon Flux, so that should give a clue to our listeners out there what we're covering tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. I can see where you're going with this.
Yeah, I don't know if it's actually a trilogy or not, because it was kind of a long-running group of cartoons, of animated series, so I don't know what all was in there, but we're dipping back into MTV's Liquid Television.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So this was an era of cartoons that I remember very fondly, and I think that there were four main cartoons that sort of came out of this Liquid Television idea that really kind of made an impact with me. And that, well, we've already talked about Aeon Flux, as you had mentioned,
right,
which I loved. It was fantastic. We've talked about, what was the other one? So the other one is the Max.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the Max, and we mentioned Rain. I think it was Rain the Conqueror that was from the same people that did Aeon Flux. But that came out years later.
It was Peter Chung who did Rain and that. But if I'm wrong on this, I believe Rain was on Cartoon Network.
I think it was Adult Swim.
Adult Swim.
I think it was when MTV more or less had shut down their animation for whatever reason. And that was the weirdest thing about watching this one today. It was like, wow, this was like early. It was almost like Dr. Katz or The Critic.
Right.
Or, you know, it reminded me of some stuff that I'm seeing today, but in the same kind of vein, like that weird, absurd kind of humor. And I was like, holy crap, MTV was like way ahead of the game. And then they just shut it down. They shut down all their animation. And,
I mean, do you think that it was something like sort of like a sign of the times where, you know, being sometimes a trendsetter, it doesn't necessarily latch on right away. And so you can present something that's a great idea, but if people aren't ready to watch it, if they're not ready to get into it and support that fandom, then it's not something that's going to go the distance.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's all it was. It was probably just your typical kind of network thing. It was probably just came down to the numbers and the viewership, and you know, they were the basic cable program. They had their music television, that's what they were known for, and then they started to branch out with the reality programming, and you know, even just the live shows, like, you know, Total Request Live. They started to have their game show kind of stuff at night, which worked out real well for Chris Hardwick.
get those singled out dollars.
Just go back for singled out,
get on them.
I'd like to go back and watch one of those just to see how insane that whole thing was. But yeah, they started to really build up their reality programming slate. Once, you know, Road Rules and Real World hit, and that was just a juggernaut, that was their late night slate, man. They weren't going to crowd it with these, you know, little 10, 15 minute cartoons that were just kind of a niche market for them, unfortunately.
I remember what the other cartoon was that I was thinking of.
Oh, what's that?
So we have the first one that we talked about being Aeon Flux.
Right.
We mentioned the Max, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it on the show.
Right.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Was the other major cartoon,
which is the biggest one for them.
Biggest one for them ever.
Yeah.
We have Daria, which came later on.
Right.
And I still watch that show every once in a while when I find it online. I love it. It's great. And then we have Tonight, which I'll say is probably the fifth big one that I can really remember being MTV's The Head.
The Head.
The Head.
Yeah, I'm going to walk you through some history for The Head.
Are we going to continue to say it as The Head?
I certainly hope so.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
The Head began as an ongoing series originally ran under the title of MTV's Oddities. So, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there was the Liquid Television was like the, what, two-hour block? And then MTV's Oddities was a subsection of that programming block. Is that right? Do you remember?
I, I believe Liquid Television was somewhere in like the 30 to 60 minute block.
Okay.
And it was just a lot of like really quick, short interstitials. You know, just kind of, you know, people who are up and coming, who were trying to make their mark, who had a crazy or an insane idea.
Right.
And MTV afforded them that platform to really be able to get out there, get creative, get weird. And those things were beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Not always animated. Some of them were very live action, like Joe's Apartment.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Right. And so some of these things were very different and very unique. Some of them had puppets in them. Some of them just had like very simple stage makeup, but they were crazy and they were a blast to watch. And so as a result, it gave Peter Chung and some of these other people, Mike Judge, this platform to kind of, you know, move forward in their careers, which is great.
Cool.
And the head came out of this.
The hit. And then something came out of the hit, which we'll get to in a second. But yeah, this one ran for 2 seasons and 14 episodes. So again, it's kind of weird. These were all in like 10 to 15 minute segments, maybe a little bit longer. Because they were just, you know, they're just segments of this kind of thrown together. Well, I don't want to say thrown together because that sounds like they didn't actually put, you know, effort into it. It's not that. It's just a very avant-garde kind of animation style. And they handle a lot of different themes from something as kind of, you know, in your head as Aeon Flux to The Max, which is a whole nother story that we're not even going to talk about at all tonight because it's pretty dark.
I'm not ready to talk about.
No, I know. Sean and I were like, we're not ready for that tonight. We got to mentally prepare ourselves. And
having been a fan of the Max comic book,
right,
and then also the animated show,
right,
just knowing some of the fundamental backstory for the Max, I'm going to be honest and say I don't honestly know how to address some of the content of that show in a successful and fruitful manner. For our show.
Especially because this is a show where we normally talk about just like, hey, this is a weird cartoon. Isn't that weird? And this is like, this is a whole other thing. But for now, we got the head, and the head's not too bad.
The head.
It actually started airing on MTV2 in August of 2009, probably because millennials like us were like, I'm nostalgic and I want to watch this program again. So they brought it back. And then that same year, at the end of the year, they released it on DVD. So you can check out both seasons, all 14 episodes, on DVD. I think there might be some discrepancies with if they included all the episodes or not, but I think it's out there for the watching. So that's it. Yeah. That's really the history of it. Pretty short run.
Yeah. So just to give people a little bit of an understanding of a synopsis of the show, it was created by Eric Fogel. The head is the story of Jim, a trade school student in New York City who awakens one morning to find that his cranium has enlarged to mammoth proportions. A week later, out bursts Roy. He is a little purple alien with an odd sense of humor who has taken up residence inside of Jim's head.
That's pretty much it. That's all you need.
Which Jim's head is the head.
And it's enormous.
Enormous.
I didn't remember it being that big. I remember it being weirdly big. I don't remember it being like 2 stories tall.
Oh, yeah, man. It's giant.
It's huge. So before we get into the description of it, because honestly, what we're trying to do this time around is we're just going to take apart one episode, and we're going to do that for future podcasts as well. We're just going to pick, we watch a few of them, and we're going to pick apart one episode so we can really kind of dig into it for you guys. But before we even get into that, do you remember watching this one when it was on TV?
Oh, I do. I absolutely.
Was it 94, right?
Yeah. So I know that you mentioned, you know, the whole Liquid Television era of cartoons,
right,
and I was heavily watching. I was in my early teens. When I turned 13 in like 93.
Yeah,
so
I was just the other side of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was heavily into, you know, some of the shows that they were putting out at that time, and especially Liquid Television. I had never seen anything like it before. And there was a period of time where I remember very distinctly watching a lot of old Looney Tunes cartoons that were on some channel from, I want to say, like 6 to 7.
Yeah, just like whatever their early morning block. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this was in the evening.
Oh. Really?
Yeah,
6 to 7 at night.
This was in the evening. They had some, it was like, I think it was like TNT.
Okay.
Had an hour's worth of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. And I would just watch it all the time. I loved it. And then after that, I would flip over like immediately at like 7 o'clock, and they had half an hour of Liquid Television, and the contrast was so stark.
Dude, was it on that early? I could have sworn it was on like late night, like so your parents can't catch you watching it kind of hour.
I mean, I remember pretty distinctly that they were on like in the post dinner time frame, because I just remember flipping over and watching some of that stuff.
How the hell did they air the Max at like after dinner?
Oh, dude, I don't know. Some of these things were just so crazy. But then it was nice to see that Liquid Television, that sort of the things that they picked that they wanted to kind of move on after that.
Yes. Yeah, kind of curate. You know,
we're given those opportunities. Exactly. And so they had somebody who, you know, tended to that garden and picked exactly what they wanted to move on and get a little bit more attention. And the head was definitely one of them. And so it was very interesting to see that whole MTV Oddities show kind of pop up, which was funny and so short-lived.
Yeah.
Which, at the same time, I loved it because I really think that it was only the Max and the head, and they never really expanded.
Well, I mean, Aeon Flux was probably the biggest thing that came out of that, because they had, we had talked about this on our show, so you can go back and listen, but they started as a series of just like these short little vignettes where actually the main character, spoiler alert, dies at the end of each one in some, you know, brutal, horrific fashion. And then they decided, they were like, oh, people are really responding to this stuff. So that's when they kind of made the series out of it. And I think they got two more seasons out of that series run, where they actually had the half-hour episodes that had an overarching plot structure. And then, of course, they got the movie, which we're not going to talk about. So that's probably the most successful one. But there are so many little gems kind of buried in here. Honestly, for me, I was probably 10 or 11 when this came out. I could have sworn it was on late at night, because I wasn't supposed to be watching. This was the era where I wasn't supposed to be watching MTV. Ooh. I was not supposed to be watching The Simpsons. I, of course...
Really? The Simpsons?
I wasn't supposed to be watching The Simpsons.
That's the reason I say this is because I've never met anybody else. My mom wouldn't let me watch The Simpsons. I think after my dad let me watch it one time.
Probably because you got a smart mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I was banned from watching The Simpsons for 2 years because my mom thought that it was a bad influence and just freaking crazy.
I still remember this. I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons. And then the first episode that I was allowed to watch was Babysitter Bandit, which scared the shit out of me. Do you remember that
Babysitter
one?
Bandit?
I think it was called Babysitter Bandit.
I have no idea what that is.
That might have been a porn I just watched the other night, but I think it was called Babysitter Bandit. It's basically like there's this babysitter that's kind of going through the town, through like Springfield.
Okay.
Yeah, you with me so far? No, this is the porn synopsis, by the way.
Oh, Jesus.
And then cops show up. So there's this babysitter going around, and she's basically like, the parents leave for the night. She ties the kids up, ransacks the house, and then leaves. And then the parents, when they come back, find the kids like just tied up and their house just completely emptied of all its belongings.
Oh, my God.
And it was scary because, so she's watching Bart and Lisa and Maggie. They end up like tying her up, but after like this horrific kind of like really dramatically shot, almost Hitchcockian chase through the house, like Home Alone, but like super fucking scary. And this was the first one that I was allowed to watch, and I remember being terrified of it. Just terrified. Jesus. But hey, thanks, Mom. Thanks for letting me watch this to scar me for life so I can talk about it 20 years later on a podcast.
That's the most 2015 thing you've said all day.
Exactly. I'm bringing it to the here and now. But yeah, so this was one of those things that I remembered having to sneak to watch stuff on MTV. And that's why I thought it was late night. Maybe it was a re-air at like 11 o'clock.
Could have been.
So maybe that's what it was. But I don't...
I mean, realize that also this was at the point where MTV barely had any programming whatsoever.
Yeah, so they rehashed just like, everything over and over again.
So it was the same music video over and over and over again. Yeah. But it was great because you were watching all those awesome music videos. Because
they were fun. And you liked watching them over and over again. And you liked seeing what was number one, Carson Daly.
Oh, boy. Get that TRL.
Yeah, TRL. Total Request Live for the youngsters out there.
Oh, boy.
But I don't really remember that much of this one. You know,
okay.
The Max really stuck out to me for a number of reasons, not least of which because it was very kind of cartoonish comic book animation.
It stood out because of the dark, dark undertones.
And then the dark, murderous undertones. Yeah, yeah. So as a 10-year-old, love that stuff. Yeah.
Fair.
No, most of it went over my head. And honestly, the head went over my head because I don't remember any of this story.
Okay.
Do you remember the like opening credits at all? Do you want to get into that? There's not really a theme song to talk about in this one. There's kind of the Oddities carnival-esque thing, which was always pretty neat and pretty creepy at the same time.
Yeah, I always enjoyed the intro for MTV Oddities, which was sort of the let's pull back the curtain and see exactly what's inside of MTV's
The Oddities. It was a and creepy, it was just, like Carnival Barker. Yeah.
Like a sensual Carnival Barker.
That's my favorite kind.
He just very, very just enthusiastic about what was going on. So it was, I enjoyed that sort of intro. But you're right, this show just kind of like dropped you right into the middle, you know, into the beginning, not the middle. There's no in medias res there. They were just like, we're going to start you from the beginning because if we put you in the middle, this is going to be too batshit crazy for you to figure the fuck out. You don't know what the hell is going on. Right. So it was, this show was interesting because they really start you from pretty much the beginning.
Well, before we jump into the episode real quick, I just want to say this opening had the same kind of effect on me. So the MTV Oddities things with this little carnival kind of opening had the same kind of effect on me and my psyche as the opening of Are You Afraid of the Dark? It's something that I will like always remember, that it always set the tone, set the mood. You remember the Are You Afraid of the Dark? They had that montage of like spooky settings and that creepy, eerie music and same kind of tone.
And the whole like now submitted all, for the approval of the Midnight Society.
Yeah. So both the intro and then the way that they actually kick off the story within. Those two things really set the tone and set the mood for what you were about to see. So,
right.
Yeah. So the head, we are going to be talking about the first episode tonight, which is kind of split into two parts. First part is called The Head. And the second part is The Date.
The Date.
Yeah. But yeah. So I cut you off, Sean. You were talking about this show really starts you right from the beginning of like point zero of the story.
Right. You know, it starts you off with the idea that this character has been going through some stuff, and you're not, you know, you're introduced to him in like a second as being Jim.
Yeah.
But the context that you're given is the idea that he has not been to the doctors for 5 days after something unique has happened to him.
You could say that.
And he's a little bit curious about what to do, and I'll be honest, it was sort of relatable in the sense that there are times that like stuff will happen to me and I'm like, do I need to go see a doctor? Should I go see a doctor? I'm going to wait and see if this clears up. I should probably go see a doctor.
You
like
probably should.
A couple of days later. Yeah. I'm just going to take some NyQuil, you know, so, and it's a broken leg. So, I mean, it's just, it's.
Well, at least you figured it out. You diagnosed it and everything's fine.
Right. So in that sense, I was like, okay, I get it. But in the instance where his cranium has grown to the proportion where it's 1.5 times his own, like the height of his body,
right.
I'd be in the ER immediately. I'd be in the
doctor's. This is not something where you're like, it'll probably be fine. I can just let it kind of go away naturally. Once your head gets to like 5 inches bigger than it should be, I'd say check that out. Hydroencephaly is not nothing to fuck with.
Right. If anything ever happens in this region, on the top portion of my body, in my head, in general, that I'm just like, ooh, that's not a good idea. Like, I'm immediately at the doctor's office.
Yes, as you should be.
Yeah.
The funny thing is about in this show, because we're not exaggerating when we say, like, his head, like, the top of his head is probably, you know, 10 feet above his eye level. So there's his eyes. He's probably maybe 6 feet tall. And then 10 feet above that is just the rest of his head. And it's all bald, and it's just, and it's, it kind of bulges out. It's almost like a giant bishop's hat. it's like 4 feet around. The thing's huge. It looks kind of like a giant ass or something. But it's funny to look at the way that they handle the animation in this, because all the other characters, when they introduce you to it first, all the characters are kind of, you only see them from like the eyebrows down. So, like, you see Jim from the eyebrows down, and then he's talking to a doctor, thankfully. And you kind of only see him from, like, the, you know, the glasses down. So it's this weird kind of, like, close-up perspective, and you don't really know what's going on. And then when they finally, like, reveal his ridiculous head, it's funny that they have to, like, elongate the rooms, or they have to draw it in such a way that the proportions allow him to just be able to walk and to be able to move through doors. I mean, he has to bend down, but to be able to move through doors and move around corners and interact with people, it's hilarious to just watch the animation style.
Yeah, every apartment has to have like vaulted ceilings.
Yeah, it has to, because you can't otherwise. He's just grinding the top of his scalp along the ceiling.
Just, I can't imagine the neck pain of just him with like his head just back the entire time, just having to suffer through that.
Yeah, he's got no brace. He's got no
I'm intolerable
halo.
Even thinking about it, let alone having that malady.
Having that happen.
The fuck no. Not gonna fly for me.
The funny thing is, and we'll get to this at some point, but he does actually address that too. So it's not like they say, there's a weird kind of humor at play because he's aware that this is a thing that has happened to him.
Right.
People around him are very obviously aware that this is a thing that has happened to him, but not to the point that like multiple people are intervening in an emergency situation. Like there's no urgency to this. The fact that he waited a few days is kind of like, he's got kind of this depressed kind of, how would you describe Jim? Just like his tone of voice and the way he approaches things. How would you describe?
Very mundane.
Yeah.
Very lax.
Yes.
In terms of
very
what's happening.
'90s.
Ooh, wow.
Very 90s kind of alternative like era grunge kind of guy.
Yeah, he seems to be a guy. Jim seems to be the kind of guy that will go with the flow, but he may not be 100% excited about anything.
Yeah, he's not like a cool character who just hangs back and awesome things happen to him and he's just like, all right. This is a guy that, like, it
did
seems
you just
like
Matthew McConaughey.
I did, but I did one third McConaughey because I can't do full McConaughey.
You can't do full McConaughey.
Nah, I can't do it all. But yeah, he's like he's the opposite of that. So he is not the cool guy, but he is still a guy who he's almost kind of spineless. Like he doesn't stand up and say like, this isn't right. Something's wrong. Something needs to be done. He's just like, well, there's not a whole lot I can do about it. So you know, it's okay. It's fine.
I would say if I had to describe him in one word, mm-hmm. lethargic.
Yeah, he's lethargic.
It's very, it's the, if you were to go to the beach and go to one of those crappy like tchotchke stores yeah. that they have that's on like the boardwalk
yeah.
and you bought like a wooden sign that just says, it is what it is. Like that
with like a
is,
little crab on the bottom of it. That's
exactly. It's just like a little tiny crab.
Little tiny crab.
Like, that is Jim's mantra, is just, it is what it is.
Which is kind of funny when you think about it, because for someone as lethargic and just kind of like happy to whatever happens to him happens,
yeah,
you would think that something like this would either jolt you out of it, or you would just be like, ugh, and you just lay down and die. And the interesting, well, because I mean, you're so lethargic to begin with, now you've got like easily
he's
100
like, he's like
10
years ahead of... Yeah, right.
God.
He is the most emo's he's the most emo 90 person that I think you could possibly personify
him
into a cartoon.
Jim and Daria should have got together.
Oh my God.
It would have been amazing.
That would have been a show about people just being like, so.
No dialogue, just a lot of like shifty eyes and.
And deep sighing.
Deep sighing and like shuffling feet. And
a lot of fidgeting.
A lot of, you could just call it Fidget the Series. Fidget the animated series.
Oh my God, I'd watch the fuck out of that.
But that's the kind of level, so like if you were a fan of Daria for that reason, then you should like Jim. And if you grew up in the 90s, you should at least understand Jim.
Sure.
However...
I want to put it this way.
Yeah.
Lethargic, but he has the most incredible, unique situation happening in his life,
yeah,
and he doesn't seem to fully grasp or understand the consequences of the gift that he's been given.
See, and I'll give him a pass on that because you, as the audience, are not. Well, hold on.
You would.
I had a little known fact, listeners. I had a small extraterrestrial being burrow itself into my neck during our college years and live there for a few months. So I kind of know what Jim was going through a little bit. I'm waiting for like Sean to laugh and chime in here. I was seriously waiting for this Gil conversation to come up.
I wasn't going to say it because I knew that it was a sensitive topic.
Oh, no, it's
for
really
you,
not.
Bud.
It's really not.
Okay, well, fuck it. Yeah, you were Aquaman for,
yeah.
You know, we called you.
I love it. Sean's like, I wasn't going to bring it up because I know you're sensitive.
Well, I'm not
about
gonna
it. He's
be
like, no,
sensitive
fuck it. We called
it.
You Aquaman.
I mean, I mean, I think I maybe have joked about it once or twice, but I mean, you know, I didn't want to insult you.
No. It's cool. I literally, when I was watching the show, I was like, oh, I totally get what Jim's going through. Cause when I was in college, I basically had like a growth that was on the side of my neck and it was very obvious. You could not hide it from anyone, despite how many popped collars I tried to wear. So that just made me look like a douche with a weird thing.
We didn't wear any pop collars.
I wore a lot of like high collared stuff during those few months.
A lot of turtlenecks. A lot of dickies.
And guess what? That's mock never good on a good day, especially with like a tennis ball lump sticking out of your neck.
Oh.
But no, it was all good. But guess what? I did not wait until it was like 100 pounds. I went and got that shit checked. And Jim pretty much did the same thing. The funny thing is, when Jim goes to this doctor, Dr. Axel, I think is his name.
Yeah, Dr. Axel. Dr. Richard Axel.
Richard Axel.
Not fucking kidding. Yeah, Dr. Yeah. It says Dr. R. Axel, and then later on in the episode, there's a, is this Dr. Axel? Dr.
Richard
Axel? I'm like, oh my, they named this dude Dick Axel?
It is Dick Axel. This show's so weird. But it has a weird, quirky kind of humor that, again, very 90s, probably very drug-influenced. But I love that the doctor is, A, concerned, as a doctor should be, but then, B, he's extra concerned because there's something obviously not quite right about his head, but the fact that they can't even x-ray it. So he says something like, look, we tried to x-ray your skull and it's just a giant like black space. Like we can't see into your skull. He's like, I think Jim asked to do exploratory surgery.
He asked, and Dr. Axel says we can't penetrate the outer membrane.
This is
great. Like, it's a cranium. It's a, like, unless
can't penetrate it.
Here's what happened.
I saw Independence Day. I know how they do alien autopsies.
Right?
Just cut down the midline.
That's what happened. And then Will Smith shows up.
And then a baby alien pops out, and then Dr. Oakum goes all crazy.
Yep.
And then he comes back in the sequel, due out next July.
Possesses your mind. Is it really?
Yeah. Well, it might be in June, but, you know, for next July. But
I mean, it's got to be next July 4th.
It is, but I think it's like a week before that. Sidebar. Okay. But yeah, so...
Fair.
So he says, like, okay, look, we tried to x-ray it. We can't see inside your skull. He's like, exploratory surgery. He's like, no, we're not going to do that. Can't penetrate the membrane. And then he's like, besides, you remember what happened when you went on the CAT scan or went in the CAT scan machine, which we don't see, but I'm assuming it was something terrible.
Right. That was what was really bizarre is that would have been a perfect moment. You know, in a world that we live in right now with so many cut tos in cartoons like Family Guy, they pimp them out for that moment where you want to see that CAT scan. And it never delivers.
No.
They don't deliver on that joke. It could have been something hilarious of them trying to shove his giant 10-foot head just into a fucking CAT scan.
Yeah.
And they do absolutely nothing
with it.
They're
there's no jump cut. There's no flashback. Nothing. Yeah.
Nope. They're like, we're going to write this joke. And if people are just like, all right, cool. Like,
that's
good
all
for them.
Need.
Otherwise,
that's,
no
delivery.
We just
need a 90s reaction from these people and we're good to go. No, I loved it. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of spoiled, I think, with the modern day comedy because I took things to be dirtier than they were. I took things for granted. Like I kept expecting jump cuts and I kept expecting flashbacks. And there's not a lot of that. It's very pared down. It's just very straight. They play it straight. What you see is what you get. And they get a little more action in kind of the second episode, not the second half of the first episode. But the second episode gets a little more action. But
right.
Okay. So
and there are those moments where like you... It's very rare that we watch some of these cartoons and we're like, we would like a little bit more or some additional exposition in this sense. And in this case, that history or some of that context is present and they have it and it's available, but they just don't take advantage of it.
Yeah, to the point where he's even like, you know, when did this happen? He's like, I don't know. I kind of woke up, my head hurt and took some aspirin and then it was this.
I feel like that's the most like approach to something.
Yeah.
We're just like, so what happened? Hey, Dave, what happened? Oh, I don't know, bro. I fell asleep, woke up like this. I don't know.
To be honest, that's actually how it happened to me. It was the same kind of thing. I'm not even kidding. It's pretty much the same thing. I just didn't have a 100-pound head.
Oh, boy.
But so then we get to kind of his, like, his... I don't know. I almost want to call it a heroic origin, even though he has nothing to do with it. Because it's, you know how heroic origins always take place in an alley? Like, I think like Peter Parker and like Uncle Ben was shot near an alley. And obviously Batman's parents were shot in an alley.
I didn't even put those two together as like in any type of correlation.
Well, but it was bizarre because I was looking at the scene, and like I said, like the ceilings are stretched to like infinity. There's never any ceilings because he can't fit his head in these places.
Right.
So you see this kind of overshot of this alley where they're like, it's not connected to anything. It's just like there's no roofs on the buildings next to it. It's just like a brick wall that just goes up.
Yeah.
And it's just weird to just look at it from just an animation perspective. But so Jim goes outside into the alley and he's walking home. He's all depressed. He's pissing and moaning. He's got this massive head and he's trying to make his way home. So right. Of course, what happens? He's out on the street in public.
There are three guys that are outside that are in like an alley across the street. Yeah. They see Jim walking and they all kind of turn to each other like, hey, you see this? You see what's going on?
Yeah, I see.
You see what this is? And they all agree. They're like, oh, let's go check it out.
Let's go fuck with this guy.
Let's go fuck with this guy. Yeah. And so they go over and they start this confrontation.
Yeah, not a conversation. A confrontation. Like this guy's clearly got problems. Maybe ask like, well, they do start. They're like, what's going on with you? Like
in this day and age where we have, and I admit that I think that this is a good thing where we have this very PC culture where, you know, we ask people questions about how they want to identify, and we're becoming very empathetic to other people and people who don't necessarily fall into the buckets and categories that we are used to.
Right.
And in this moment, it really showed how fucking 90s this show was, where somebody was different and they were like, hey, what the fuck's wrong with you?
What's going on with you?
It came right through. Just, hey, what's wrong with you? It's just like, and then touching it.
Yeah.
And touching. I had a friend recently who, a mutual friend of ours, who she was at a salad bar, and somebody who worked for where she was like the establishment, somebody who was working there came over and was just like, your hair is so nice. Let me touch it. And this woman was just like, this friend was just like, you don't get to touch. I'm at a fucking salad bar.
Yeah,
like,
what are you?
Leave me the hell alone. Get the fuck away from me. And it just, those moments remind me sometimes just kind of how we can take an easy step back in terms of understanding and just being respectful of people's personal space. And then we watch a cartoon like this and you realize that this is the genesis of where we came from, was calling people out for being weird and fucking different, and also having zero respect for somebody's personal space.
And it wasn't that long ago.
You confront them in an alley and you poke them in the fucking head.
And I love the fact that even at this point, right? So this guy's clearly having a bad day. Like, what's your problem? What's your story? What's going on with you? And he's like, look, man, like, I'm having a day you wouldn't even believe. So just leave me alone. I'm just trying to get home. I don't want to be bothered. At that point, like, a normal person would just be like, all right, cool, I get it. You know, fuck off, have a good day, whatever. Something, just leave him alone. All three of these guys whip out, like, switchblades.
Yeah.
And then, like, just escalation out of nowhere.
This seriously, this went from a confrontation to a mugging in the snap of a finger.
Like, this guy is the guy you want to mug. This guy.
This guy.
Like, no one's gonna be witnesses, right? Like, oh yeah, I didn't see these three guys mug a dude with a 100-foot tall head. Like, pick somebody else, man. Wait for you know, Beatrice, the 90-year-old waitress, to come home from the diner or something. I don't know, but
right. Well, here's the amazing thing.
Yeah, so heroic moment. Yeah,
we find that Jim gets pushed into the corner.
Right,
and what starts to happen is that it looks like he develops boils and his skin bubbles from underneath.
It's real great. Like on his giant forehead, his 10-foot.
Yeah, on his giant forehead and his 10-foot giant forehead, he begins to get like boils and bubbles and bumps, and then his head explodes open in half.
Yeah.
Like, if you've ever seen an anime where somebody gets chopped in half, and then there's that, like, delay where you're like, oh, did they get cut? Like, are they all right?
Banana peel
and then
apart.
Their body just kind of, like, slowly just parts ways, and you're like, oh, no, it's that's fountains of blood. Terrible.
Or, like, Independence Day when they're doing the alien autopsy. It just splits open. Same thing.
Guys, Independence Day dash 2.
Based on the head.
Based on a true story.
Yeah. It's not a true story.
So they have this moment where suddenly we are introduced to a ricocheting purple mass that leaps from Jim's head. It punches one guy like 15 feet through the air.
One guy gets,
you're right. So what happens, the first is one guy gets punched through the air and flies into some trash. Yeah. Another guy gets punched, as Dave said, into a brick wall. And I paused for a moment and I said, oh, that guy's dead.
Yeah, his face was like within the bricks. His body was outside the brick wall. His face was in the brick wall. That guy is super
dead.
They
only animated from his neck down. I was like, he is decapitated. He's fucking decapitated. It's amazing. And then the other guy, do you remember what he looks at him and he says to him?
Oh, I can't remember the line. I think I wrote it down, but no, go ahead.
Yeah, he looks straight at him and he goes, stay out of trouble.
Oh, yeah. He's like a little PSA from a little purple alien creature just popped out of some dude's head.
Just a stay out of trouble. Oh, my God. Just amazing.
So that is your introduction to, well, we don't learn his name yet, but that's your introduction to the creature who has been living inside Jim's head for at least a couple of days.
Yeah, five days.
And then he hops back in. That was the part that creeped me out even more.
He was
done with the fight. He was just like, just right back into his head, and it sealed back
up.
And just
zippers all the way back up. 10-foot zipper.
Yeah, so it's not like Jim's done with this. It's going to be a literal headache for the unforeseen future. I did it.
You did it. I'll do it again. You did it. Good.
So they go back to Jim's place, and this is where I was cracking up because he has to like duck to get under the door, but he's got these vaulted ceilings just to make it easier on the animators. So that was fun. And then Jim is so fucking chill that he just has a conversation with this alien creature in his head. He just invites him back out and he's like, hey, we need to have a talk. And it just bursts straight out of his skull.
It almost reminded me of, you know, those moments where in a movie from that era where somebody tries to like psych themselves up, tries to give themselves a pep talk.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just like, come on. You got to get this together.
Usually in front of a mirror or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think Spirit Quest was the movie that came to mind.
Spirit Quest? I was thinking like American Psycho or something.
Oh, that was not what I was thinking.
Well, I'm always thinking American Psycho.
Bret Easton Ellis does write some very vivid, imagery. So they're going into this like kind of pep talk moment where he invites this alien out, and the results are
they're great. I had a blast with it.
Yeah.
I had fun.
Loved it.
So this little guy, he pops out of his head with no apparent pain to Jim. He's totally fine, I guess. And the little purple alien pops out and he's like, hey, my name is, and then he just rattles off something.
I was waiting at the end of him for just to be like, I'm the scat man. I've been like, fair enough. You got me.
He just sounded like if he played like a Black Sabbath album backwards. That's what his name sounds like. But then he's you can call me Roy.
Yeah.
So this is Roy. So we've got Roy and Jim. These are pretty much our characters for right now.
Yeah.
At this point, do you want to introduce our other characters who are kind of just waiting outside in a surveillance van? Do you want to talk about those guys?
Right. So we have a couple government guys that are doing surveillance. You're introduced to Dr. Lucas Elliott,
right,
who is I want to say like a skeptic, or he's some type of
some kind of crackpot
in alien,
former scientist or something that's pretty high up in this organization, whatever it is.
He believes that aliens are a thing, and he has dedicated his life, and as you find out, like, I've dedicated every moment of my life to finding it. Like, this guy is passionate.
And he's bitter because he goes on a rant about how, like, when I was in college, I didn't go to parties. I didn't do panty raids. I didn't drink beers with my frat brothers. I didn't do anything. So he's just, like, devoted his entire life to proving that aliens exist. Did you see why? Did you see his flashback? I don't remember which part that was in. His flashback to when he was like, a little kid?
No.
Okay, I'll talk about that when we talk about the other Roy's counterpart that shows up.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So we're introduced to Roy. We find out that there is the confrontation or the conflict that occurs in this first episode, aside from there being this massive alien inside of Jim's head is that Jim has invited a woman yes. over for dinner,
right.
and he is, and in classic guy fashion, he has totally forgot that Uh-oh. There's a girl that's coming. Oh, that, like that, I think convention, I think I'm officially tired of it in every sense.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it in this sense because it was such like a typical thing, but considering the problems that he had, here, wait for it. Here comes another pun. You ready? On his mind.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. I can understand it in this case. I think yeah. I can understand. And it's funny because it kind of pokes fun at that trope, but it also makes this for a very interesting problem to deal with because he's now got this little alien running around. He's still got this giant head. There's a lot of other weirdness about to happen. So it was an interesting setup for that. Yeah.
It's interesting because this is sort of the tipping point, too, where you feel like a lot of the things that are going on in this, if you had this lethargic feel and tone at the beginning of the show, yeah. things have now begun to accelerate.
Yes, very quickly.
Once Jim gets home, things accelerate at an alarming rate.
Yeah, and not just the story, but like the actual animation, too, picks up a little bit. So it's yeah.
From the understanding that he forgot totally that this girl, Madeline, is coming over for dinner to, you know, Dr. Richard Axel calling him incessantly on the phone and leaving a shit ton of messages to all of a sudden a cooking montage where...
Well, yeah. Hold on. Before Roy... Because I want to talk about that because that was kind of fun. Two quick things. One quick sidebar. There is a cameo appearance from another of MTV's very famous animated folks. When we meet the government guys, sort of the FBI guys sitting in a surveillance van, Butthead of Beavis and Butthead fame actually shows up. Mike Judge voices him for this, too. It's very short-lived, right. but it's pretty cool. So Butthead shows up to deliver a VHS tape to these guys. They pretty much just throw him out, roughly, and he's just like, oh, cool, and that's it. Like, that's all you get from him. So I don't know why he showed up, but it was just kind of fun. I feel like it was probably like Mike Judge's friend or something. He just did a little cameo appearance. And then what else do we get? We learn before we get to the cooking montage that Roy has a mission. Do you remember his mission?
So Roy's mission is that he wants to, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's here to save Earth.
Yeah, he's here to basically save the human race.
Yeah, he doesn't like get to the point on that. Like it's sort of a little bit delayed, but he's just like, I'm here to save the Earth. And because the way that he pitches it originally is that I'm living inside your head because I'm adapting to the Earth's environment and I haven't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah, he's basically then, like a mutual kind of symbiotic little creature that lives inside of him.
Right,
yeah.
right. And there's a weird exchange where they kind of try to explain that portion of science where they're just like, this is a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, the exposition.
Just get on board with this symbiosis.
That's terrible.
And just Jim replies with his retort is just like, it's more like it's an inconvenience.
Yeah. He
it's
actually
like,
said,
oh my
you can't
God.
Blame the lot on his mind pun on me because I actually pulled that right from the show. He's like, I've had a lot on my mind.
Yep.
It's because, so he says like, oh, I forgot Madeline's coming over. We're supposed to have dinner. And Roy's like, well, I'm supposed to save the human race, but I guess that can wait. Let me help you out.
Right.
In the meantime, though, too, this is when there's actually a news broadcast that kind of cuts in. And they basically say like, oh, hold on, I have it written down. Do demons walk among us and do your neighbors carry their seed? And then this news broadcast is great.
Fox News is great.
It was great.
Guys.
And so they interview one of the muggers, the one that's not dead, basically. And he starts telling the story about this dude with a 10-foot head and then the purple alien that came out and beat the shit out of him and his friends. So that puts the feds on Jim's trail. And that's where we have that secondary kind of conflict. So now, go ahead, Sean, take us through this this cooking montage.
So we go through this cooking montage where it looks like all they do is they make pasta and they put some shrimp on top of
but
it.
But it's so intense. It's like the Bourne Identity of shrimp scampi making.
Whoa, that is high praise.
Maybe I wouldn't say it
but,
that way,
hey,
but like
fair enough.
Intensity level Bourne Identity.
Right.
It's like so the Michael Bay of making shrimp and pasta.
Everything exploded.
Everything
on
blew
contact.
Up. The hot oil.
They cut a shrimp
on fire.
And it exploded and killed everybody. End of the season.
Yeah.
So they go through this cooking montage with this ferocious nature, this ferocity where they're just like, we gotta make this food. And you know, it really seems like you find that Roy is able to complement some of the motivations or deficiencies that he, that Roy projects that Jim has. And so
right.
Roy is trying to assist him in terms of confidence and how he interacts with people and making him, you know, somebody who's maybe a little bit more outgoing.
Yeah, that's his beneficial side of the relationship there. Because he's like, yeah. Look, Jim, you're my apartment where I live, and I'm going to help you be more confident.
Right.
And that's pretty much the exchange so far.
So they go through this whole thing, and they make this food, and they get it there. And then, again, there is another one of those moments where Madeline comes to the door. And again, it's another shot where you just see Jim yeah. from, like, the eyes down.
Yeah.
And you see Madeline's face kind of just the, oh.
Yeah.
Like, kind of reaction.
And that's that kind and of she, humor where it's like, she doesn't go running, screaming. Now, there's right. sort of a reason for it, which she'll get to in a second during their dinner conversation, but yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, so you have all these things, you know, you have pretty much the perfect first date set up.
Right? Yeah, perfect for what could possibly go wrong? I love right there. At this time, so they're getting ready to have dinner, right? They're getting ready to sit down, have a somewhat relatively normal dinner, but you've got the feds that are still tracking them down. So they're at this point going after the doctor. Do you remember this kind of, this moment where they went back to the doctor and they were like interrogating him? There was like this weird kind of side moment
yeah.
where.
So they have, I believe it. Oh no. So they were interrogating the guy that they interviewed.
Yes. Him first. And then they went and visited the doctor.
Right. I don't remember what the doctor.
He's just got this weird thing where he kicks them out. He's like, I'm an American citizen, damn it. And I pay your salary and you can't treat me like this. And this is, I think, unless I'm reading ahead, but I think this is where the doctor, Dr. Elliot, who they drive around in an ice cream truck, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Yeah, that was a weird.
It's not really
a
surveillance
note.
Van. It's revealed to be an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
Which is really strange and creepy.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. But so Dr. Elliot is talking to Dr. Axel. And Dr. Elliot, I think, reveals that when he was a. Now, this comes later. So this is kind of not a spoiler, but this is from the second episode.
Oh, spoil it up.
But basically, the doctor reveals that he was visited by an alien when he was a kid. And the alien tried to. He burst out of somebody else's brain. And killed the guy, and then he tried to climb into the doctor's head, but he was a kid, so his head was too small. So the alien was like, your head's too small. So he just goes off running, and then he gets hit by a truck when he tries to cross on a road. So the kid has been traumatized by this experience, so that's why he's dedicated to his entire life to trying to make people believe that aliens exist. Now, Dr. Axel, who was Jim's doctor, he kicks these guys out of his place. This is why he's frantically trying to call Jim. And he basically, like, he opens a drawer and he pulls out a bottle of liquor and he's like, don't do it, Rich. He's like, think back to that Christmas party. Do you remember this? He goes, think back to this Christmas party. The German Shepherd. Oh, I still got problems with the ASPCA over that. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
That's right.
Where did this come from?
Again, another prime moment where they pimp themselves out for a flashback or a cut to. And they never delivered on it.
Yeah.
It was such a, and they leave you hanging with this air that's so awkward. And they never address it. They never go back to it. It
and maybe they do later in the season, or
I don't think any of these jokes pay
off. It's almost funnier that here's the thing that has really changed in the animation style and just comedy in general that I've seen. Shows used to leave a lot of things up to your imagination. So they would hint at things. They would suggest things. But then to stay out of trouble with the censors, they wouldn't actually say anything or show anything. It was all the power of suggestion. And it was funnier when you kind of weren't sure what exactly happened or you kind of made your own story up, which we'll talk about in a second, is something I did that made myself laugh because I thought it was dirtier than it actually was. but now, everybody, it's so straight. It's so, this is what it is. This is the joke. There's no extra meaning to it. There's no suggestion behind it. It's all just, here's the joke. Here's the disgusting thing. Here's the sexy thing.
Yeah.
And SNL, honestly, like the reason I haven't watched them in the last few years, it used to be that they would actually be satirical. They would actually use metaphorical organizations or characters to stand in for other people and they can get away with doing stuff like that. And now it's a literal translation of those things. So it used to be like, oh, we're faux news, and here's Saturday morning broadcast from faux news, and they could get away with stuff. And now it's just like, we are Fox News, and look how dumb we are. It's just the literal translation of these things just it's not as funny to me. I don't get it. But this was kind of refreshing that they didn't actually spell everything out.
Okay.
That was my little rant for the night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's get back to a nice shrimp and pasta dinner with a little alien in your head. So what would you do with an alien if you had a lady coming over and you were going to have dinner, but you didn't want a little purple alien run around? You already had your massive head to explain. You didn't want two things to explain. What would you do with them?
Probably store them back up in my head. Back up in my dome.
But I mean, the guy's been hanging out up there. He already had to take a pee break, so that's good that he's not peeing in his head.
Yeah, but I mean, at least he's head broken.
He is head broken. That's an actual line from the show, by the way.
Yep, I'm ashamed about
that. Yeah, I know. I wrote it down, too.
So
the scene where he dives back into his head, okay?
Holding the plate of pasta with shrimp in
it? Now, here's the thing. I missed that to begin with, which explained my confusion. So do you remember when Roy dives back in Jim's head? Jim says to him, he kind of like looks up at nothing, which is in his head now. And he's like, are you sure you should be doing that up there? You at least take some napkins. Do you remember that scene?
Yep.
I never saw him take the plate of pasta in his head. I was like,
yeah, he took a plate of pasta.
I was like, is he just fucking like jerking it up in his head?
There's a, oh God.
I thought the little
alien,
because he was like, oh yeah, your lady's friend's coming over. I'm not going to creep her out.
Oh yeah, your lady friend's coming over.
I thought he was just jacking off up in Jim's head. And I was just like, what the fuck?
So well, he's naked and you see that he's just like a pelvic floor with
he's
fucking
just
legs.
He's a little just plastic doll, basically.
Right.
But then later when I saw that he's sitting up there with a plate of pasta and shrimp, I was like, oh, I definitely took that the wrong way. He's
makes
just eating
now.
Pasta in a guy's head. All right. Pasta so let's get to Madeline.
All right. She comes over. You find out the big thing is that she works over at a center that hosts a support group.
For freaks.
Oh, no, not freaks. Take that back.
Yeah, Jim didn't like that either.
No, it's not funny. But she works, it's for, I believe, like unnormal people?
She calls them human.
Abnormal people.
She calls them human anomalies.
Anomalies. Human anomalies. Yeah. And so these human anomalies, you know, we're not going to get too much into them because they're not in this pilot
episode.
No,
they're just introduced kind of here and.
But I will say they take more, they assist Jim in a lot of the things that they're doing. He ends up kind of bonding with them. And then they actually surprisingly take over in the second season.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is weird because then that's kind of where a lot of the story arc and narrative for this show kind of falls apart, was that it follows their specific lives. So, but, you know, suffice it to say, you learn this little bit about Madeline, that she's an accepting person about what's going on with Jim.
And helpful, too.
And then suddenly,
something
happens.
So Roy's like sitting up in Jim's head and he's watching his little like handheld TV and he starts freaking out and you don't really know what's going on. And he starts getting more and more frenzied, more and more distraught. And, you know, things are going good between Jim and Madeline. Everything's going really well. The first dinner, you know, everything's going really well.
Yeah.
And they're going for a little contact, a little hand-holding at the end of the night.
Get it.
But at the same time, Roy's freaking out. And as Jim's about to touch Madeline's hand and hold her hand, Roy just comes bursting out of Jim's head again in this flood of just pink, disgusting, frothy liquid that just splashes onto the table in front of the both of them. And Madeline, God bless her, she's still just kind of like, oh, hello. Like, it's no big deal.
So 90s, just unflappable. Like,
oh, hey. Well, everybody was on, you know, Valium at that point anyway, so.
Quaaludes or some shit.
So it didn't even matter. So here's the point where you learn that Roy was super serious about his plan to save the human race. Because apparently there is another being on the way who is not quite so symbiotic. He is actually more of a parasite. He's a mercenary. He's a parasite. He's a real nasty piece of work. And I believe his name is Gork.
That's correct. Gork.
We got Gork. He kind of looks like Roy. He's kind of a flesh-colored Roy. A little different looking.
Yeah, couple different features.
Couple different features.
You know, in terms of eyes and
mind
and stuff
powers.
Like that.
He's got some sweet mind powers.
Yeah, you find out that that he's the guy who helped destroy Roy's planet. So Gork is kind of a piece of shit.
He's a real piece of shit, and he happens to crash land right in the middle of this dinner party, and the two aliens have a fight, which was pretty entertaining. Roy is definitely getting the worst of it until Jim and Madeline decide that they should probably help out. And despite the fact that they're just puny humans. They do well enough to distract him so that Roy can actually put Gork down for at least a moment.
But then where does he go?
Well, you'd think everything was fine, though, right? I mean, Gore's taken out and
sounds fine. Yeah. Sure.
Wait, isn't that what happens? Wasn't it a happy ending?
Oh, no.
I stopped watching. That wasn't happy?
No, it's not a happy ending.
Oh, my God. What happens next?
Gork jumps into Madeline's head.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I love that that's a phrase that we said on this show, though. Gork jumps in Madeline's
head. Jumps into Madeline's head. Yeah. So he... And I think this was my favorite, one of my favorite parts of the entire episode was that as Madeline has like this little kind of curl, kind of like cowlick, not a cowlick, but she's got kind of like this little like dew curl on her forehead. And as her head enlarges to this 10 feet tall, that little curl just kind of like goes boop, 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 boop,
just travels
like all the way out to the top, just travels to the top of the head.
That was pretty great.
And so it just, And the whole thing concludes with the idea of just Madeline walking out the door.
Well, what I loved was that she didn't just walk out the door. She punched Jim in the mouth on her way out. So, and she's got kind of this dazed look in her eyes. So you know that obviously things are not all right for Madeline. So it turns out that Gork is this parasitic kind of alien and he can control her. But if they don't get him out of there soon... she's going to die. She's going to basically, her head's just going to rupture and she's going to die. He can only stay in his host for a little bit. So now they've basically set up the rest of the premise for the rest of the season, which is good a time as any to ask you, would you recommend listeners watching the rest of this season or the rest of the series?
I would recommend watching the rest of season one. Yeah. It's only six more episodes after this. Right. I think it hits some interesting nostalgia for me. For the period of time, like for that early 90s, it's interesting. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen at that time.
Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't say that I was entertained by watching it now, but I would say that I was interested to recap something that I don't fully remember.
Yeah.
And so I would recommend it. Yeah. Dave, what are you thinking?
You know, I appreciated it more this time around, you know, being 30 something rather than like 10 something. But it wasn't quite as, man, I don't want to say quite as crazy because it's pretty crazy, but it wasn't as over the top as I thought it would be. Not as frenetic, not as fast paced. I mean, I kind of compared it to like Ugly Americans in a sense. There's a bit of man seeking woman because it's kind of like this, there's an absurdity present, but people don't think it's that big of a deal.
Right.
Or, you know, there are so many shows out there right now where like just weird stuff is happening just like second after second after second. And this show wasn't like that. It just had moments of just like bursts of frenetic energy and crazy stuff happening. So I would say for people who are used to the current kind of mode, it might feel a little slow. It might feel a little sluggish or weirdly paced. I'd say check it out anyway. If you kind of remember watching it, definitely go back and check it out again and see if it's something you might like. I watched the first two episodes. I was kind of hooked into it in the second one because they actually do a little bit more. Roy actually he needs Jim's help in piecing this machine back together so he can basically defeat Gork and then save Madeline. So they actually have an interesting kind of plot thing that they're going through. So yeah, I'd say check it out. Here's the weird question though. Could this be rebooted?
You know, or rebooted? I don't think I'd want to see a reboot of this.
Yeah.
I think for the time and maybe that cultural MTV cartoon significance that it had for MTV Oddities and Liquid TV, I don't think I'd want to see this get updated.
Yeah, and it was such an original take, and obviously the creators kind of spin on things and just very. If somebody just repeated that, then it wouldn't do justice to anything because it's just taking an idea that's already been done and then just rehashing it. So, I think this one's probably better left the head. So we'll leave it at that. That's going to wrap it up for the discussion of the head tonight. Sean, what do you have coming up in the next couple of weeks for folks out there in listener land?
Ooh, boy, you know, not a ton going on, but I would encourage everybody to check out witdc.org. They have something that's coming up in August that is called Improvapalooza. It's a lot of different crazy themed shows that are unique and things that we don't get an opportunity or chance to do. Things like an entire show dedicated to Downton Abbey or Game of Thrones or just random cartoons that you know and love. And so a lot of these niche, fun kind of ways Like, if you want to see an improvised spaghetti western or Quentin Tarantino film, you know, and so they get a small, fun chunk of time to be able to put up these crazy ideas. So this will be going on for 2 weekends later in August, and you can check out all the times at witdc.org. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's fantastic. David, what do you have going on, bud?
I'm still hanging out over at Collider.com doing all the entertainment movie news.
No way.
Yeah, just hanging out. Hanging around, palling around. Now, we're still doing a lot of work over there, so come on by and you know, check it out. And let me know if you come across one of my articles. Feel free to leave a comment. Just say, hey, heard you on Saturday Morning Cartoons. We are also trying something else out on Twitch right now. For anybody out there who's been watching our live stream, we're going to start doing live streams of not only the show, but also the pre-show, where we get super crazy and Sean gets a little nude. We are not necessarily going to do an after show yet. I don't think I have the stamina. But we'll wrap it up at least. But yeah, for our Twitch listeners and watchers, thank you for checking us out.
We should say thanks to Jamal Newman and Tony Lazzaroni and Melanie Harker, yes, who have been...
they still hanging in there?
All three of them have been hanging out in the chat for a while. I know that Tony and Jamal have hung out all the way through. Tony has hung out all the way to the end. I think Jamal just signed off.
Tony's still just sending himself emojis.
Thanks to the thanks to those guys for hanging out. No, we really, really super appreciate it. So we hope this is fun. And when we have them back on the show, we hope that this is fun for them to do as well.
Yeah, definitely. So if you guys want to follow us on Twitch, we will have the contact information up for that. Again, it's just Saturday Morning Cartoons. So just wanted to get a plug in for them. Twitch has been, you know, a lot of fun, and this is just a different way for us to interact with the fan base and the community out there. So let us know if you're watching. I also want to get a quick plug in for a charitable organization called Vocality. Now, it sounds like vocality, but it's actually spelled Vocal ID. So it's V-O-C-A-L-I-D. And you can go to their site. It's vocalid.co. Basically, what they do, if you're interested in doing any kind of voice acting or voiceover work, this is a charitable organization that you can go to and sign up with. They will give you a list of phrases and sentences and things to say to record so that they can actually use your voice to blend with someone else's. And it makes a unique voice for someone who's not able to form words, form sentences, and they have speech disabilities. So it actually gives people who are otherwise unable to speak, it gives them a unique voice that is very personal and specific to them. It's a really cool program. So if you're interested,
it's a great cause.
Yeah,
and it's
fun.
It's simple. It's fun. It's simple to be able to do. And you know, we take the fact that we can talk for granted,
yeah, every
that we
day.
Can do this for, you know, however long that we've been recording and twitching so far today. Yeah. And so,
and I'm sure that, you know, some of you out there are wishing we did not have that ability, but that's fine too. But now this is a cool program. So check it out. All you really need is a quiet space in your home and a pair of headphones and a USB mic, and you're good to go. So yeah, check it out. We will have that link up as well. As for us here at Saturday Morning Cartoons, man, we are starting to really expand our social media connections. We've got a Facebook page. We've got a Twitter account that's at Morning Tunes. Remember, that's morning with a U. We've obviously got the website, SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. We've got the Tumblr page with Sean's handiwork over there, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Man, what else have we got? We got
a YouTube page.
We got a YouTube page.
You can find us. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Every week, man. Each and every week. Yeah, and for you guys who have left rates and reviews out there, love it or loathe it, we appreciate that because it really does help us in the rankings and it helps us to get the numbers in. So we really do appreciate that.
I will say, if you are on Instagram, feel free to. I've been tagging everything that we've been doing, all of our guests,
cool,
all of our cartoons, everything that we have. You can find it Sat Morning Podcast.
Sat Morning Podcast.
S-A-T Morning with You Podcast.
Awesome. Yeah, and if you guys have any suggestions, or if you have a show that we haven't covered yet, but you would really like to hear on an upcoming episode, just
bring it.
Yeah, bring it, man. Let us know through any of those avenues. Send us an email, SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at DrClawMD. So honestly, any of that stuff, you got a ton of ways to find us. And guess what? If you contact us, I will find a way to get you some swag because it'll be great. And I want to share the love. Yeah.
Nice.
Good time. Hey, buddy, do you know what we have coming up next time on Saturday Morning Cartoons?
I don't, because we're trying to figure out. We've got a series of really fun guests that are going to be new to the show that we're hoping to schedule and line up in the month of August. And we are hoping to have some of our good friends of the show back as soon as possible. And so we are in the process of scheduling this out. So I'm hoping by this time next week, we will have a definitive full schedule. So that's a long-winded way of saying I have no fucking idea.
No. What he meant to say was mystery bag. It's a mystery bag.
It's a potpourri.
It's a Saturday morning cartoon. It's potpourri.
Yeah, that's a Jeopardy thing.
People already can't spell morning. There's no way they're going to spell potpourri.
It's potpourri.
It's a mystery bag.
That's, every time somebody's going to type that out, it's going to be a red squiggly line underneath.
Just potpourri.
You're going to be like, I got to spell check that shit.
Just remember potpourri, and you'll be fine.
Potpourri, that's it.
Morning
on,
with
guys.
A U, potpourri, also with a U. That's how you remember Saturday morning cartoons. Thanks for listening to our Twitch watchers and listeners. Thanks for hanging out with us. Really do appreciate it. We will see you guys next time.